to Quilter Genius Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we have been exploring for you here at Quilter Genius. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you're listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host for today, Matt Dawson, an investment manager based out of our Bristol office. And this week, I'm pleased to be joined by Richard Carter, our head of fixed interest research, and Manta Valecha, one of our great equity research analysts. Good morning to you both. So, no prizes for guessing which topic we'll be spending the bulk of our time discussing. Of course, it was the budget last Wednesday, and that's dominated headlines, although there were far bigger rumours than statements that came through on the actual day. In particular, there were no big bangs, such as an immediate removal of tax-free cash on pensions, nor sudden changes to capital gains tax. And the various changes that were announced will take some time before they come into action. This was taken well by markets, with a golden trio of the UK stock market, bonds and the pound all rising in value. Richard, you've spoken in the past about fears of the UK's fiscal position being overblown, most notably media talk of an IMF bailout being highly unlikely. Gilt yields and therefore future UK borrowing costs fell considerably in October, providing some breathing room for the Chancellor coming into the budget. It seems as though that may have been the rationale behind the U-turn on income tax. So did we see less tax raising in general than you expected?
Good question, Matt. Perhaps, although let's be honest, you know, taxes still went up pretty significantly. I mean, it was clearly a very sort of strange thing going on in the build-up to the budget. You know, we were led to believe the OPR forecasts were terrible and therefore income tax might need to go up. And then, lo and behold, things suddenly improved. And it's interesting to see Rachel Reeves seems to be in a bit of trouble for all this, of perhaps over-egging the pudding in terms of what needed to be done in the budget. And the OBR now saying actually the forecasts were never that bad. So this sort of thing could rumble on for a little bit longer. I mean, she had to raise taxes to get more fiscal headroom. I mean, the talk of it being 4 billion margin to meet the rules, you know, 4 billion would not have satisfied gilt markets, let's be clear. That would be a tiny, it sounds a lot, but a tiny amount over a sort of 3 to 4 year period, given the size of the UK economy. Sort of less encouraging, I suppose, is they're raising taxes to pay for, in some ways, their failure to cut spending, particularly on welfare. And that's something that I think really is going to hamstring them a little bit. But no, I mean, I think the like you say, the worst things, such as raising income tax, were avoided. But let's be clear, taxes are still going up pretty sharply.
And talking of rumbling on, I mean, we were told last year that the budget was going to be a one and done increase of taxes. And yet here we are again this time around. Can we say with some sort of confidence that we've seen the back of these kind of budgets, or will we be once again listening to a whirlwind of rumours next year?
My money's on a whirlwind of rumours, to be honest. I mean, the whole way the fiscal rules and the sort of headroom thing works is so subject to fairly minor changes in borrowing costs, in inflation, in growth expectations. You know, this is not headroom today. This is headroom in sort of 2029 or whatever, in a few years out. And it doesn't take much for that that headroom to either disappear or actually maybe increase substantially. So I don't think sort of rumours about what they're going to do will increase. I just hope that we get some sort of growth in the economy and actually, you know, we've seen the back of tax rises for some time. But it really is very much subject to the sort of, you know, whatever happens over the next 12 months or so.
Yeah. And then perhaps on the flip side, I've heard US investors actually call out the UK as one of the few nations with at least some kind of fiscal plan. Do you think we start to get some more credit globally for this, at least compared to the likes of the US and France?
I do agree with that. I do think compared to the situation in France, compared to the situation in the States, the Chancellor and you know, in some ways, in a weird way, you've got Liz Truss to thank for this. They very are aware of the importance of, shall we say, appeasing bond investors when they're borrowing quite so much money. It's all very well to criticize the bond vigilantes at the end of the day, but they it's a bit like criticizing the bank when you want a big mortgage to buy a house. I'm afraid it's the they do have quite a lot of power over what happens. I mean, I do think, yeah, I do think they're trying to do the right thing, but will we get credit for it? I mean, the problem is we are very reliant on overseas investors and investors who, frankly, don't need to buy gilts. They can go off and buy something else if they so choose. We don't have the benefit like France in a way that we're inside the Eurozone. Double-edged sword maybe, but certainly gives them some benefit. And then obviously the Americans have got the whole global reserve currency of the dollar. So I don't think we should feel too sorry for ourselves about it. It's just a question of getting a house in order. But yeah, I do think the government's kind of got the right sort of right idea in a sense of being fiscally restrained.
Okay, perfect. And then one thing that I was surprised about this year was, or a little surprised about, was how much companies would pass through the minimum wage increase to costs, with April alone adding 1.2% on the inflation figures. So this budget had another increase in minimum wage, but a much smaller one. And then they did a few other tweaks to try and reduce CPI. So do you reckon we could be looking at headline inflation figure perhaps in the low twos by next summer?
Yeah, certainly mid twos. I mean, I think it's a sensible thing. They possibly learned their lesson from the last one, where you put taxes up, and then hey presto, the inflation rate goes up, and then the Bank of England can't cut rates, and you're back where you started in terms of borrowing costs and all the rest of it. Not ideal. And this time they try to arguably better approach to try and work out where they could bear down on inflation. It's not huge. I mean, some of the things they've done, freezing rail fares and sort of cutting green taxes on energy bills, it's fairly small beer, but yeah, should bear down a little bit on inflation over the next 12 months or so. The Bank of England may sort of see it as a bit of a one-off thing, but yeah, we might see inflation heading down towards the mid twos by the summer, which would be good.
And then, so has the budget changed your expectations of UK interest rates over the next year or so?
More, very, very modestly. I mean, I think maybe slightly lower. I mean, you mentioned gilt yields fell. Partly that's been sort of driven by Bank of England hopes, but also yeah, just a, it got the budget out of the way without any major disasters. I mean, I do think we'll get an interest rate cut before Christmas, so that would be good. That might have happened anyway without the budget, but certainly there was nothing in the budget to stop them doing that. Next year, things could, change quite easily, and we still have sticky inflation. Let's be clear, but yeah, overall, I think the budget opens the way to more rate cuts over the next few months or so.
Great. So turning to you, Manta, it's great to have you with us today. You specialise in analysing consumer-facing companies, and it's fair to say that sentiment's been against them going into the budget. If politics were to take a step back for a while, which would be a very welcome change, do you think that there's a strong backdrop for your sector, and do you feel that the UK consumer picture might play out quite nicely from here?
Yes, unfortunately, I don't think you can separate politics from consumer spending. The political environment through mechanisms such as taxation and spending, either directly or indirectly, influence the economy, businesses, and the consumer. Now, in the coming months, consumer spending patterns will likely be determined quite a bit by confidence. The key measures announced in the last week's budget, such as frozen tax thresholds, increased tax rates on dividends and savings, or the removal of relief for pension salaries, may have a relatively limited impact in the near term, but they are eventually going to apply incremental pressures, to household disposable cash. And these are actually, set to disproportionately impact those with high incomes and also higher savings. Now, all this combined with the ongoing conversion of, wage growth with inflation and an elevated savings ratio that is not showing much signs of unwinding, we don't see much of a reason yet to become, I guess, less cautious about the UK consumer.
So, is it perhaps a continued case of the strong companies get stronger while the weak companies struggle a little?
Yes, I do think so. You know, as a consumer, if your wallet is getting squeezed or you are expected to feel, you know, less wealthy, you will naturally become more discerning about your purchasing habits. And this is where, you know, brands which are trendy and are seen as desirable will do well. Consumers are also seen to be buying less but buying better quality products. So I think companies who are able to remain on trend and offer the value perception consumers are after should be able to navigate better.
Perfect. And valuations in your sector certainly look attractive, don't they? So, as one example, a value style UK equity fund manager who specialises in buying cheap, usually beaten up companies I spoke with recently has started buying Greggs shares, typically a growth company, but it's just become so unloved it's fallen into their universe of ideas. And I saw Greggs was one of the strong risers on budget day. But how cheap in general are the companies that you focus on?
Yeah, so I think that on broad terms, you know, the consumer discretionary sector in the UK is actually quite fairly valued at present. So if you look at the UK broader market, on a 10-year basis, it trades at an average of a 15% average discount to the consumer discretionary sector. So, you know, a P/E ratio at 13 times versus 15 times for the consumer sector. And right now, it is trading broadly in line with the average. But of course, I'm looking at the underlying constituents for a better picture. High quality defensive names such as Next and Compass Group are trading above the sector average. They've shown really great execution, consistent performance. Hence, we think that's quite justified. And the companies, you know, who have remained challenged, and that's for a reason, such as JD Sports, B&M, you know, Pets at Home, are looking cheap and trading below the average.
Great, thanks. Well, there's plenty more budget content on our website to digest, from a summary of the changes to updated tax tables. Just visit courtachievit.com/news-and-events. Thank you both for those great insights and to all of you for listening. Did you enjoy our discussion on the podcast today? We love to hear from our listeners, so please review the show now, wherever you're listening, and share it on your socials and tag us at courtachievit. To make sure you don't miss a future episode, tap the subscribe button and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, head over to our website, www.quiltachievit.com, where you can read the accompanying market overview as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on markets news, industry insights, and our upcoming events and webinars on our website or through our social media pages. Finally, do you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts for the next podcast? Simply ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. We love to hear all your questions. But that's it for today. So thank you, Richard and Mamta, for your time, and all of you for listening. See you next time.